Morning. As these guys said, my name's Andy. It's great to be here today. I'm a youth and children's worker up at the Slade, and we're really excited by what's going down here, what God is doing in Abbey Woods and amongst you guys. It's great to hear stories of where he's at work, and it's really great to work with you and stuff like the youth of the evenings and our families events. That's particularly where I get the opportunity to work with some of your young people and families, and that's really exciting for us. Let's just quickly pray again. Father, we ask for your help now as we look at this psalm. We just want to hear from you. Amen. I'm forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air. They fly so high, nearly reach the sky. Then like my dreams, they fade and die. Fortune's always hiding. I've looked everywhere. I'm forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air. Now, some of you will know that song well. Some of you will be like, Andy, what are you telling us this rhyme for? Well, this is the infamous West Ham theme song. And it seems like this is the story of the team. They'll often be on the up, and then something happens, and they'll come crashing back down. They go up a league, they get some new players, maybe a new manager, and then that star player gets an injury. Or they beat a big team, and then they get wiped out by a really, really rubbish one. But I think in this way, we are tempted to view our lives similarly. Like our good times can be a bit like bubbles. They're great, but so fragile. And so often they just pop and are gone. But today, we see a different song here in Psalm 30. And if you've got your Bibles or an app, it will be really helpful to have it out and be looking at it. Today, there's a different song here. A song still with misfortune and hardship. A song that recognises, yes, our lives can be really fragile. But this song, however, is not marked by our fortunes and how fragile they are. No, this song is marked by something totally different. If we can have the next slide up. Life lyrics marked by rescue. Down here, we got this present. It's called My Life Story, and it's like a journal. And this is a diary of Lucia's life, our oldest daughter. And do you know where we're up to? In here, she's just three. In real life, she's actually six. But we just haven't got that far yet. And we kind of recording words that she said and joys as she's tried new experiences when she first learned to walk and first jumped her first day in school. We're not quite there yet. And are we ever going to catch up with her? Well, I'm not sure. But in this psalm, the author David, he's catching up. He's looking back at his life and he's seeing what lyrics his life song would be. And it's marked by something. It's marked by rescue. Look at this. Look at verse 1. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Our world is broken, isn't it? It's broken by disease, disasters, fights, wars, and even our own hearts. And you see three dangers David is facing in these first verses. He's facing enemies that could gloat over him. And he's facing sickness, the general brokenness in our world, and his own heart that will send him to be judged by God. And God rescues us from these things too. He rescues us from these things. Do you see that there in verse 1? His worry is that his enemies will be gloating over him. Verse 2, that a sickness, a disease would overcome him. And verse 3, that realm of the dead, he's talking about the place where God judges those who have rebelled against him. But please note that it's not the rest, it's not the brokenness that is David's focus. Now, David says that our world is broken and deeply troubled, but his focus, what marks out his life lyrics, is God's rescue. So let me ask us this morning, let me ask my own heart as I look back on my life, what marks it out? What do I think back on? If I was writing a psalm about my life, what would it contain? Would it be the friends that I've fallen out with? Would it be the family that I've lost? Would it be the time I've lost to sickness? Well, if you're a Christian here today, David isn't saying, just forget about those things. Here's the challenge. David looks back and he sees God's rescue, rescue after rescue after rescue. That disease I was healed from, that problem at work, that loss of a job, that friend I fell out with, all those God has dealt with. A few years ago, I used to keep a diary of prayer requests. And I would look back every now and again. I would look back something like 3 years ago and see, wow, God did deal with that. And that was pretty mega at the time. And then 6 months ago, I was really wrestling with that. And wow, that's totally changed now. Rescue after rescue after rescue. But we quickly forget, don't we, what God has done in our lives. And we just move on and we're so in the now that we forget to look back and see, no, God has done this and this and this. We need to stop and say thank you. But it goes on. You see, David keeps singing of the God who comes through. If we could see the next slide. David's just getting started. He's not just looking back at his life. But now he turns to God's character. He says, this is who God is. He's a rescuing God. Recently, one of my kids woke up in the night and they're in tears. And they were shaking in bed. And I can't remember what it was, whether it was dragons or witches or what had really scared them. But what they wanted to do, first of all, apart from be with mum or dad, they wanted to turn the light on. Because when you turn the light on, things get better. They wanted the night to end. Things always seem worse at night, don't they? That problem you're mulling over in your head. That conversation that keeps replaying from the day before. And then you wake up in the morning, well, it's still there, but things don't quite seem as bad anymore. And look at how David characterizes God in verse 4 and 5. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. David's telling us this is why our lives are marked by rescue if we're a follower of Jesus. It's what God does. He is the God who comes through. That's who he is. You see that in verse 5, the anger of God and then the favor of God or grace is tied into the next statement. You see, the rejoicing comes in the morning because it's God's grace that comes through. It's what we see his people sing about throughout their history. In the Old Testament, you can see songs of how God's people were rescued by going through the Red Sea. Before the Ten Commandments is how God introduces himself again. I am the God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And the whole of the New Testament, and then church history, looks back on the cross because it's where God rescued us. Just as surely as the sun rises, so God always comes through. Look, you may be in the middle of something right now. And it might be really tough. And this psalm isn't denying that things get tough. It may have even been going on a long time. Noah was in the ark for 40 days before the rain stopped falling. Moses was in the wilderness with the Israelites for 40 years, wandering around. But here we're told that there will be a morning. The night will end. It will be different one day, even if that day is a long way off. Maybe even beyond the grave. God will come through. But look back at the verse. He even tells us what we should be doing in the meantime when it is tough. Singing of this God. We'll see it later too. In the tough times, while waiting for him, we sing to remind ourselves, our own hearts, that God will come through. If we see the next slide. Don't stop singing of the God who kept you. I was really excited the other week. This is a few weeks ago now. I was at our youth group and I was playing on the Xbox, okay? This is very rare if you know me. And I was playing this game called FIFA. And I was actually beating this young person. This is amazing. The thing is, I'm rubbish at computer games, but I'm very good at button mashing, which is just basically pressing all the buttons really fast. And I just happened to be winning. And then all of a sudden, it's time to pack up. And these youth leaders, they come in and say, Andy, where does this go? And where does this go? And what happens is, every time I turn around, this other kid starts winning. And eventually, no surprises that I lost the game. Look at these verses, verse 6 and 7. When I felt secure, I said, I'll never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. The picture here is David maybe in his royal palace on the mountain looking out over the city that he rules. In some moments, he forgets and says to himself, I'm never going to be shaken. Life's going well. And busyness creeps in, doesn't it? And too quickly we think, yeah, I've got this. I'm doing all right. My kids, they finally get it. I've just made this great new friend. I've just got this new job. My boss finally appreciates me. And we stop singing. Why should we sing of a God who rescues? We don't feel like we need rescue. So we stop singing. We stop reminding ourselves of who God is. We start seeing our lives marked by our achievements. We can sometimes do this even spiritually, can't we? Like, wow, wasn't I a good witness to that person today? Or, I've not done that sin for a while. I'm doing pretty well. I mean, we still kind of thank God, but that pride is niggling in our heads, isn't it? And we stop really singing about God. But look, suddenly David realizes what happens when God becomes distant. We need to come back to him. When you hid your face, I was dismayed. We need to say that wherever things are going well or are really tough, God is still there. He's the one who makes us stand firm. Next slide. Death means silence, but say it isn't true. Suddenly this psalm, it seems in verse 8 to kind of like, it kind of jumps. Bit like we're jumping off a cliff. It's like we're seeing David at some of his darkest moments. sees language. He's pleading, crying out for mercy, talking about even his death. Now, some of us have had moments like this, haven't we? And it's all relative to your situation. But maybe a loved one has died. And we failed an exam. Someone we know is seriously ill. Or maybe we're seriously ill. We feel like the world is crumbling around us. And we wonder, why is this happening? Sometimes we can't see what's next. But look at David's response to his situation. It's what marks out this song that so distinctly. Look in verses 8. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I'm silenced? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. Now, when I first read this and was trying to prepare this, I really wrestled with these verses because they are tough. It's a tough thing to understand. But I think here, at David's worst, he says, if I die, if I don't get mercy, who's going to praise you? His worry, his concern, his longing is to continue to praise God. He's not mostly longing for deliverance just so he's personally okay, but so that God is praised. Why? Our voiced worship, whether in prayer, in our heads, or in actual song, is crucial. It's how we reflect and respond to the God who made us. God should be praised. He's totally worthy. It's not that God needs David's praise, but God designed David and us to praise him. We're made to reflect him. We're all worshippers. You just need to go to a football match. See that, don't you? Or a concert. We are worshippers. It's who we are. We're built to respond and express the things that we long for. And when you see God for who he really is, worship is not just our right response. It's you can't help but do it. And when you see God for who he really is, it's not just what we should do, worship. It's what we can't help but do. And how do we see him? I mean, where do we really see the core of who God is? Well, it's in that rescue we were speaking of earlier. We're going to look at it again in a second. But there's a little bit of a question in these verses, isn't there? I think as David talks about this, he says, will the dust praise you? What's gained if I go down to the pit? Well, here's the truth. One day, David is going to die. One day, he will be silenced. So how can God continue to be praised? If we see the next slide. Total rescue means maybe you need to dance too. David's final relief from what he is going through, fills him with such a deep joy. It's like his sadness is turned upside down. See the last verses. You turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. We may be delivered many times by God, but ultimately, we really need to grasp God's ultimate rescue. There's something a bit weird in these verses here, like a nagging question to do with the last verses. How can David praise God forever? Now, maybe we look back and we know all this stuff, but how can someone heading for God's judgment not end up in the realm of the dead? God's place of judgment. How can we praise God forever? Well, we need to drop right back to the beginning of this psalm and see David in verse 3 talks about the realm of the dead, this place of judgment. It's a Bible idea called hell, or the place of God's judgment. It's the journey all of us naturally head on as we start life. We determine we know how to do life best. So we walk away from the God of life towards the realm of the dead. We think we got this life, just like David. We think we know best. We think we can rule. And God says, okay, you can exist like that for a time, but not forever. He's just, and he looks deep inside our hearts. And he sees, like in verse 1, we've been somebody's enemy. We've harmed people with words and actions in his world. When we truly see ourselves as God sees us, we should experience that kind of wailing and mourning that is in verse 11. Why is David wailing? Sometimes we do see ourselves like that, don't we? We realize what our hearts are like. I'll never forget the day, and forgive the young people here. This is a story I've told you guys before. But my eldest daughter, I was doing some drawing, and she just wasn't listening to me. And I was trying to tell her this thing, so I thought this would get her attention. And I screwed up this bit of paper that she was drawing on, right in front of her. Well, it certainly got her attention. She burst into tears. She was devastated. But it got worse for me. A while later, I got up and I look her in her face to say sorry. And she stopped crying by this point, but again, her eyes flooded with tears. You see, her daddy, who's supposed to care for her and love her and protect her, was in that moment her enemy. I was her enemy in that moment. And as I looked into her eyes, it was like looking into a mirror. I saw my brokenness, my harm, the anger, and the evil in me. And we're not always there to see it, are we? The damage that we've done, the words we wish we could take back, the thoughts. But God sees all of that. And these things aren't cheap, and they're not forgotten, and God knows. They're logged. God says they're recorded, the damage that we do has a price. And yet, as that record stands against us, as that judgment looms over us, the God who comes through, the God of rescue, has dealt with it. He's paid the price. He's taken the judgment for us. He stepped in, he stepped down. He took on our records, he took on our wrong, he took on our brokenness. In fact, he stepped into our night, into our darkness. Did you see that above? Weeping may last for a night. Well, Jesus steps into our suffering and the suffering we cause to end it. He steps into our night to bring about a mourning. As we read the account of Jesus' death later on in the Bible, what happens at the cross? It gets dark. Nighttime. Judgment. Jesus took on our death so that we could know his life. He took on our nighttime so that we could have a morning. And as we come to him, we can do that. We can have that exchange that's in verse 11. You turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy. In a different version of the Bible, it doesn't just say joy. It says you clothe me with gladness. And I think that's a better phrase because it's not just joy that he gives us that's inside just for us. He clothes us with this gladness which sings back to him. So let me ask you this morning, have you got those new clothes yet? Maybe you need to remember them today. Or maybe you're sitting here today and you think, yeah, I hear what you're saying, Andy, but I think I've still got it. I think I'm okay. Can I ask you this morning, make this exchange. See what Jesus has done for you. This could be true of you. You could sing this with David. You've turned my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. And if you've got those new clothes, glad clothes, as we look back at our lives, let's see that. Let's see what marks our lives, the God who comes through. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are the God of rescue. Thank you that you step into our night and bring about a morning. And we pray that you would help us to see that in our lives today. As we look back and see it in your word, for it's true for David, it's true for us today. And Lord, there's lots of different people here in lots of different situations that I don't know about, but thank you that you know them. And help us even in our tough times to see who you really are. Amen.